Hello, and welcome to the GovSat Report Radio, where we discuss the trends, technologies, and policies impacting the commercial satellite industry today. My name is Ryan Traden, and I'm the executive editor of the GovSat Report. And joining me today is a very exciting guest, Steve Koller, the CEO of O3b. For those that are not familiar with O3b, they're one of the most interesting satellite service providers in the industry. They utilize a middle Earth orbit, or MEO, satellite constellation that can do some truly amazing and revolutionary things. Needless to say, it's a great honor to have you joining the program, Steve. Thank you so much for being here today.
No, it's a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure speaking to you. So, before we jump into the meat of the discussion, for those folks who might not be familiar with O3b and its capabilities, could you just give us a quick primer into the company and its offerings?
Sure, Ryan, you did a pretty good job in the intro. At O3b, we've launched a state-of-the-art satellite constellation, and it's really aimed at providing connectivity to some of the hardest parts of the world to reach and meaningfully improving the lives of the people that we do connect. We've put a ton of bandwidth on our satellites, a ton of frequencies, and we've also brought our satellites closer to the Earth, which helps to remove the delay that's traditionally associated with satellite. And that has a big impact in improving the performance that we can deliver for data networks as well. And that cuts across all parts of data networks, both commercial and government, which I know we're going to spend some time talking about right now.
Now, you said that we've brought the satellites closer to Earth. How much closer are we talking?
So we're four times closer to the Earth. Our satellites are at 8,000 kilometers. So, and a traditional geostationary satellite is 36,000 kilometers from the Earth. So our round-trip latency, which is kind of the figure of merit for delay, is 120 milliseconds instead of 600 milliseconds. And that makes a huge difference to the performance of, say, a voice call, where you don't have that frustrating delay. But it has an even bigger impact on improving the performance of a data network, where you've got a lot of communication going backwards and forwards over a data network, particularly as more and more applications are in the cloud. So that relies on having a really high-performance data network in order that you can keep all of your data kind of remote from your location. And so what we're doing is enabling the traditional applications that everybody uses in their day-to-day lives, but we're doing it in places where satellite connectivity is really important.
So now you guys have been partnering with SES Government Solutions, to do a handful of demos, and you've been running these demos since about 2014. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about these demos, who's been in attendance at these, what kind of things you've been demonstrating, and what have you been hoping that the people who have come in and seen these demonstrations would take away from them?
It's a lot of what we just said, really. You know, the punchline is that the demos have shown that by using O3b, no one has to compromise on the kind of applications that they want to use, no matter where they are. And so each of the different customers that have been exposed to our demonstrations, whether it be Navy customers, whether it be those who are more likely to be deployed out into the field, whether that be the, you know, kind of traditional army or more kind of in the special forces environment, the requirements are kind of the same, which is they want access to information and the same information no matter where they are, right at the edge or in a kind of a command facility. And they also want to be able to bring back the information that they have. And so both of those things rely on high capacity, so having lots of information, and good performance, a good level of performance, which really speaks to this issue of latency or delay. And when you provide both of those things, you basically enable the warfighter or the commander to have the same access to the same information no matter where they are. They can use full, you know, HD video, multiple streams simultaneously, and there's no need to compromise on any of those applications. And it's really a first. It's the first time for which that's been true.
So now I've heard some fun stories about some of these demonstrations, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. I want to talk about some of this stuff. So I've heard that we've done some pretty cool things with some Navy ships, potentially. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the name right. Was there one, the USS Fort Worth? Can you tell us a little bit about that demonstration and what you guys did there? Because I've heard some fun things.
Yeah, so look, it was a great demo. We had O3B terminals deployed on the USS Fort Worth. The Fort Worth is a littoral combat ship. It's a relatively small class of ships intended for operations relatively close to shore, and benefits from being highly networked. Essentially, you know, everything that we've just said about being sort of integrated into the, you know, communication system of the Navy. So we participated in the Trident Warrior exercise. So this is an exercise that kind of showcases new technology and new stuff that can meaningfully improve the performance, let's say, of the Navy. We participated with the Seventh Fleet, and we used it to show. I mean, there was a whole bunch of demonstrations that we did. It was about, you know, delivering you know, a ton of information onto the ship. It was also about demonstrating how we could take information that was generated on board and transmit it, you know, off the ship and into the various different command and control centers that needed access to it. It was really showcasing net-centric warfare. So the, you know, really the need and the benefit of everybody sharing the same information. But we also showed the benefit of crew welfare. So it just so happened that during that exercise, the Manny Pacquiao boxing match was on. That generated a ton of interest. We got big peaks in demand during that. And we also had a genuine medical emergency that happened on board the ship, and it was able to be treated. We actually sort of showcased, if you like, telemedicine. So a critical service in the government space, where you had doctors who were in a remote location advising on the particular treatment that had to happen for the patient that had this medical emergency. So we really sort of showed a ton of really interesting benefits, if you like, of taking a ship that otherwise would be relatively unconnected with relatively poor services and bringing it up to, you know, the same level of connectivity as a Navy warfighter would have if they were on shore, or if a commander was connected directly over a terrestrial fiber network.
That telemedicine story is the one that I had heard, and that's extra exciting for me. You probably aren't aware of this, but I also executive edit a publication called Public Sector View that's all about the use of video teleconferencing, and we talk about telemedicine, and we talk about distance learning, and every year I'm on site at the Federal Government Distance Learning Association's award program, and that is technology that I've always personally found very exciting and very interesting, and I think that ability to deliver video into the field like that, and to bring specialists to deliver care, that's something that can truly save lives and be really revolutionary. And if you guys can deliver that kind of real-time, low-lag, high-quality video to enable that, that's a game changer for the military. That is an extremely exciting technology for me.
We're seeing that the benefits of that in our commercial business because, you know, we're typically deploying O3B to places where there is poor terrestrial telecommunications, there's poor fiber. And so they're generally satellite-served markets, but the latency and the amount of bandwidth available and, frankly, the cost of satellite services has always limited the development of telemedicine-type applications and certainly limited the scope of those applications. And now, because we can carry, you know, HD video, because we can carry multiple feeds, the kind of development that happens, the application development that can now be supported, into places like Papua New Guinea, into places like South Sudan, and critically on board a ship that may or may not have specialist medical resources, as you say, it will save lives. There's no two ways about it. It's one of the best things, frankly, about my job is when you get to enable life-saving and life-changing capabilities. Now, we're genuinely able to do that at this point.
The potential for that is amazing, and especially when you were saying, you know, some of those areas are very remote, and really just from the civilian standpoint, those are places where they might not necessarily have doctors, specialists available to them. So the ability to deliver care into, you know, populations that, that quite possibly may not have access to it, the potential is just unlimited. That's a very exciting thing for me. But I do want to pivot a little bit. Now, you know, we've talked about all the benefits of this. You know, let's talk about, you know, enabling it. So let's talk about the technology or the equipment that's necessary to do this thing. So, you know, one of the things that I've heard about is kind of a special requirement to use O3B with the antennas that are required. So can you tell us a little bit about the kind of antennas that, you know, O3B customers are working with? You know, how transportable, how mobile are they? I've heard that there's a need for two antennas, so I definitely would love you to touch on that and why two antennas are necessary for this, and also what kind of terminals you envision customers using in the future, and how these terminals will adapt to the requirements, the special requirements to use O3B. If you can touch on those things, I'd love it.
Sure. So look, let's deal with the numbers of antennas first. So much like a mobile cellular system, as you use, as you're using your cell phone as you go from one base station to another, we have to do that in satellite terms. And the reason for that is as we bring our satellites closer to the Earth, they move faster than the Earth. And that means, you know, relative to somebody on the ground. And so one satellite is passing overhead, a customer will be on that satellite, it will pass overhead that customer. And then in order to do a seamless handover, that customer then needs to pick up on the signal coming from the next satellite. And so we have two different antennas, one that's tracking a satellite as it passes overhead, and the next is sort of getting ready for the next satellite to appear over the horizon. And then we do this seamless handover where it's completely transparent to the customer that they're moving from one satellite to the next, much like you would in moving from one cell tower to the next on your cell phone. But in terms of, you know, the development in our antenna system, so obviously we have a whole bunch of requirements ranging from delivering gigabits worth of capacity into a fixed location, which is what we're doing in Papua New Guinea. I mentioned Papua New Guinea earlier, but we're doing the same thing in East Timor. We're doing the same thing in the Colombian Amazon. And frankly speaking, we would be doing the same thing if we were delivering lots of information into the global information grid, essentially the U.S. government's information network, where we would have sort of large antennas serving those locations. But the exciting developments are happening at the small end and at the transportable end of our antennas. And so we now have, you know, a two-person portable antenna system. This is for two antennas and all of the kind of receiving equipment that goes along with it. It can be packed into a number of sort of flat transportable boxes, moved to the location of interest and set up, you know, and on the satellite within 90 minutes, which is hugely exciting. It kind of means that we can now drive into a very different space in the government arena. One of the most exciting developments there is the contribution that we're going to be able to make in sort of restoration or, you know, emergency services, restoration services in the event of, you know, an earthquake, for example. The kind of capability that we can bring in that environment is going to be huge. And having those sort of transportable terminals, which are now available and what we're rolling out service on the back of, really broadens the scope for O3B in the field.
Excellent. So we've been speaking about O3B mostly from, you know, a federal government standpoint. Let's talk a little bit about some of the commercial success that you guys have had. So I understand that you guys are now supporting, and I apologize if this number is incorrect or outdated, but I believe you're supporting over 40 customers now worldwide on the commercial side. First off, is that number accurate? And second, are there any that, you know, our listeners might be familiar with? And can you maybe give us a little bit of info about how you're supporting them?
Yeah, sure. So look, 40 is the right number. In fact, I think as of last week, it's now 43, and sort of growing. We were a global provider the day that we launched service in September 2014. So we got our customers all over the world. In terms of customers that that listeners may be familiar with, Royal Caribbean is our largest maritime customer. So we now provide services to six of Royal Caribbean's largest cruise ships. In fact, they're just They're just this moment launching the largest cruise ship of the world, which is called Harmony of the Seas. She'll be leaving from Southampton on her inaugural cruise, I think, tomorrow. And she's got O3B, the boom service, supported by O3B, deployed on board. And we're delivering more capacity to one of Royal Caribbean's cruise ships than the entire rest of the cruise industry. And with all of the bandwidth that we're delivering to Royal, we're delivering more bandwidth than the whole of the rest of the maritime industry. So it shows you the kind of difference that we've been able to make in the maritime space. And it kind of begs the question, if we can deliver that kind of capability to a Royal Caribbean passenger, and if a guest on board Royal Caribbean can get on Skype and Facebook and support all of their applications and continue to do their business on board as if they've not left the office, why aren't we in a situation where, you know, a naval, you know, a warfighter in the Navy has access to that same information? And that's obviously an ambition. We clearly have the capability to be able to deliver those types of services. And it's really sort of taking what we're doing in the commercial space and driving that into, you know, a similar environment in the government space. In terms of other customer segments, we're working heavily with the telcos, as you'd expect. So there's sort of the telcos and the mobile operators, particularly in the emerging markets. So customers like Digicel. Digicel's the largest telco in the Pacific. We are delivering services to about 50% of the Pacific Islands right now. We're across Africa in some of the landlocked and hardest to reach places in Africa, including with Bharti Airtel, who are the third largest mobile operator in the world. And we've just brought up our first offshore deployment in the oil and gas industry, the energy market, working with Rignet and BHP to start deploying services out into the Gulf of Mexico. So it's a broad range of customers and a broad range of services, and we're super excited about the difference that we're making in these different verticals.
It's very exciting. Another exciting thing is what's going on with your fleet. So I understand that you guys are expanding your fleet, increasing the size of your MEO constellation. How many new satellites are you guys in the process of launching, and what's that going to do for your customers? Are these, you know, backups? Is this going to, you know, just bolster the geographic reach of your constellation? What's the purpose of these new satellites that you're launching?
Yes, so we've got 12 satellites up in the sky right now. We've ordered 8 more. So they're in the factory being made, and we expect to launch those towards the back end of next year. And what new satellites mean to us is it means more capacity. So we've got a very, very scalable constellation. We can just keep adding satellites as we see the demand grow. And the good news is the reason that we ordered the new satellites is because we see that we're going to run out of capacity if we don't buy them. So that shows you that we're ahead of our plan. We're ahead of where we expected to be in terms of sort of take up of demand. Across all of these verticals. And we're looking forward to getting that capacity up in the sky. From it doesn't do too much in the way of broadening our reach, because as I said, we're already global. But what it does do is it brings a lot more capacity into each of the regions. And that's particularly helpful in regions that we see that are in high demand.
It's a good problem to have. We're so popular that we need to launch new satellites.
Exactly.
Well, excellent. Well, unfortunately, Steve, this has been so much fun, and I always love talking to you about O3B and some of these different case studies and use cases that you guys have. But, you know, fortunately, we are running out of time for today's program. But I do want to thank you for joining us today.
No, it's been great. It's been great chatting, Ryan, and very happy to be invited. Happy to come back and tell you more as we grow our service.
Oh, man, I'm going to take you up on that. You're going to wish you hadn't promised to come back on. So I do appreciate that. We will definitely have you back on anytime you'd like. For our listeners, I want to thank you guys for joining us as well. And we will be back, potentially with Steve, for more episodes of the GovSat Report Radio in the coming weeks.